Just lift your hands to heaven and thank Him. And Lord, You are the King of kings and Lord of lords. You are the great I am, and there's none like You, Master. None. We come to You tonight, Father, asking for Your forgiveness, for Your mercies, and for Your grace to abound. As we repent for every word, thought, and deed that we've done that's offended You in any way, search us. Remove those things. Bring Your light and truth into every area of our life. And establish Your kingdom in us and through us. As we welcome the Holy Spirit, come, Holy Spirit. Take Your rightful place. Fill us, establish us, perfect us, anoint us, appoint us, and arm us, that we may be armed and dangerous against the kingdom of darkness and all of their cohorts. And we ask, Father, for one more touch from You tonight. One more touch, one more drink, because we need Your touch tonight, Lord. Without You, we are nothing. Nothing. We look and seek Your presence, and we welcome You in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. It's time to get ready to be gathered together. It's time to get ready. It's for the warning. It's time to prepare for that which is to come. And God is drawing His children together. Mighty, mighty, mighty sweeping of His Spirit. Mighty, mighty move of His hand. Mighty release of His power. Mightily, mightily, mighty things are about to happen. Mighty things are about to happen. Lift your hands to heaven. Come on, just call it forth. We thank You, Lord. We thank You, Father. We thank You, Father, for the mighty things and greater things that we will do than He did while He was here, because we have more opportunity, because we have more high class, high intellectual equipment now to be able to reach out in the areas where He couldn't reach before. But now is such a time as this. Such a season as this to be so empowered and filled with His love and His glory. Such a season as this, even right now, where God is bringing such a move of His Spirit, such an outpouring of His love, and such a shaking to His body. A shaking to His body to bring His children in unity. Unity must come first. So there'll be a shaking, the unity, then the blessing of His fresh oil. More and more. That we may be a flame of fire, a torch established by the throne room of God. To be witnesses of His mighty love, of His mighty power, in His word that is established before time. That we may give Him all the glory, all the honor, and all the praise. Get ready. Get ready, servants of the Most High. Get ready, stewards of the mysteries of God. Get ready, ambassadors of the kingdom of glory. Get ready, because it's about to happen in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God is good, isn't He? All the time. All the time. Not just sometimes, all the time. Amen? Would you turn your Bibles to James chapter 4? James chapter 4. Start at verse 1. How many of y'all know we're in a war? You know, you're not out of the war yet, you know. In fact, you're on the battlefield. The whole earth is the battlefield. Amen. Welcome to the battle. And if you're not in a battle, you become a casualty. You know that, right? In verse 1, where do wars and fights come from among you? Do they not come from your desires for pleasure that war in your members? You lust and do not have, you murder and covet and cannot obtain, you fight and war, yet you do not have because you do not ask. You ask and do not discern, receive. Ain't that something? Because you ask amiss, Well, obviously you can't discern or you wouldn't be asking amiss. That you may spend it on your pleasures, adulterers, adulteresses, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? And whoever therefore wants to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. Or do you think that the scripture says in vain, the spirit who dwells in us yearns jealously? But he gives more grace, therefore he says, God resists the proud. Now you got to remember that the proud does not submit. But he gives grace to the humble, those are the ones who submit. Therefore submit to God and resist the devil and he will flee from you. Now that is powerful because we were talking about how important it is to submit. Submitting to the kingdom of God. In other words, submitting to kingdom rule, submitting to kingdom government, and submitting to kingdom authority. It is essential, and especially in these last days. We are submitting to those things. The only way that you can resist the devil is to first submit to God. So when people are being taken out and all kinds of other things, it's because pride has entered in. And they've chosen not to submit to the will of God, but to submit to the will of darkness. And they don't even realize it. Then they cannot resist the devil, and the devil moves them out of position. Is everybody okay? 1 Corinthians chapter 2. So we see here that if you're not submitting to kingdom rule, kingdom government, and kingdom authority, you cannot resist the devil. I want to share something else with you. If you cannot submit to those things, you cannot discern. Has everybody got it? If you can't submit to those areas of the kingdom of God, you can't discern. Why? Because that's where your discernment comes. Now, people can discern between a $5 bill and a $100 bill. But that's the things of the natural realm. But they cannot discern the things of the spirit realm because they're not submitting under kingdom rule, government, and authority. It is impossible. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Is everybody there? Everybody all right? So we must submit to discern. We must what? Submit to discern. And 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 9. But as it is written, come on, read it with me. I has not seen nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of a man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. Now, if you love him, you will obey him, right? Obedience is a representation of submission, isn't it? Verse 10. But God has what? Revealed them to us through his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. Wow. Now go to verse 14. But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God. The natural man. So what I'm sharing with you, if you're in the flesh, you can't receive the things of God. See, one of the things we need to discern is to discern whether we're in the flesh or in the Spirit. You know, many people don't. They just think that if everything's okay, they're in the Spirit. Well, that's not true. And then they think if everything's a mess, they're in the flesh. Well, that's not true either. The problem is if you're not submitting to the kingdom, rule, government, and authority, you can't discern. Hello? I love verse 14. Read it again. But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them because they are what? Spiritually discerned. Did you ever miss God? You know why? Because you didn't submit to kingdom rule, authority, or government, right? Do you understand that? You must submit to discern. It's impossible. And that's why the devil likes to get us out of position. When he sees God getting ready to do something, he puts all kinds of things in our past to get us into flesh. How many of you know that a $100,000 bill can get you into flesh, even though it might feel good? How many of y'all know the lottery can get you into flesh, even though it can feel good, and you've got all good intentions? Does everybody understand? See, you can't go by those arenas because the problem is without total submission, you can't discern. And that's important in these last days, to be able to discern. Discern what's holy, what's not holy. To discern what's clean and unclean. But the main thing is to discern what's of the flesh and what is of the spirit. Is everybody okay? You know, God is spirit, isn't he? And the only way to discern is to submit to the spirit. If we can't submit to the spirit of God, we can't discern. Because the Bible says that the Holy Spirit is the anointing and it guides us to all truth, and the anointing will teach us. So in the moment, in the arena, in the area where we choose not to submit, we open the door to rebellion. We open the door by rejecting God and not becoming humble, because he gives grace to the humble. So what we say, we're going to do it our way. Do you ever get so frustrated and finally go, man, Lord, please help me? Well, you're about 45 minutes late. You should have said, Lord, please help me before you started. Hello. I know every one of us has done that. We get all caught up in the flesh, in our talents and abilities, and we start doing things, and we find out we're getting frustrated, and we're digging that same hole over and over and over, doing that same thing over, and then finally, ding. You know, you feel that slap on the back of your head. And it's the Holy Spirit going, why haven't you asked me? Oh, yeah, can you please help me? And then the next thing you know, things are going a little bit better, aren't they? Why? Because you submitted. See, the Spirit, again, of the Lord has been granted to each and every one of us, the Holy Spirit. By submitting to him, now check this out, because the natural man, the old man, which is still here, isn't he? Hello? He's still in us. The old man, he can't discern. Why? Because he's under the rule of darkness. And he would just love to deceive you. Now, I want to share something with you. If you can't discern, then you're deceived. Has everybody got it? If you can't discern, you're deceived. Did you ever talk to somebody and go, man, I can't believe how deceived that person is? You know why? Because they didn't submit under rule, government, and authority of God's kingdom. Now, the flesh, of course, is associated with the old man. And he's going to fight you all the way. Why? Because the devil has access to that arena. The only way that you can shut that door is by submitting to be able to discern whether you're in the flesh or in the spirit. And when you're in the spirit, the flesh is being crucified. So we must submit to discern whether we are walking in the spirit or in the flesh. Now, we must be in the spirit to be able to receive, or else we rebel, we reject. We want to be in the spirit to be able to receive the things in the spirit. Go to Proverbs 28. Submit to what? Discern. Proverbs 28. In Proverbs 28 and verse 4. Is everybody there? Proverbs 28 and verse 4. Let's read it together. Those who what? Those who what? So are they submitting or rejecting? They're rejecting. Those who forsake the law praise the what? Now I want you to look at this thoroughly and in depth. So when we don't submit, we praise the wicked. But such as keep the law, content with them. Verse 5. Evil men do not understand justice, but those who seek the Lord understand all. Why? Because they're able to discern. Verse 6. Better is the poor who walks in his integrity than one perverse in his ways, though he be rich. Verse 7. Read it with me. Whoever keeps the law is a discerning son. Why? Because they're what? Submitting. Whoa. Whoever keeps the law is a what? Discerning son. But a companion of gluttons shames his father. One who increases his possessions by usury and extortion gathers it from him who will pity the poor. Verse 9. One who turns away his ear from hearing the law, his prayer is an abomination. Ouch. So there's two very important things here. And it says, if you do not submit, you praise the wicked. If you don't submit, you can't get discernment. And if you don't submit, your prayers are an abomination. That's pretty tough, isn't it? But that is the word. And this is how God looks at things. Not according to the way we look at them, but according to the way he looks at them. So the only way to be able to discern is to what? Submit. Go to Ecclesiastes chapter 8. Ecclesiastes chapter 8. In verse 2, would you read it with me? I say, keep the king's commandment for the sake of your oath to God. Now, commandment is a representation of what he says so that you must submit to it. Is everybody okay? Verse 3. Do not be hasty to go from his presence, and do not take your stand for an evil thing, for he who does whatever pleases him. Where the word of a king is, there is what? There is power. And who may say to him, what are you doing? He who keeps his command will experience nothing harmful. Doesn't mean you won't go through stuff, but it won't harm you. And a wise man's heart discerns both time and judgment. So by submitting, you're going to discern God's time and judgment. Because for every matter there is a time and judgment, though the misery of a man increases greatly. For he does not know what will happen, so who can tell him when it will occur? So you're going to need what? Discernment. No one has the power over the spirit to retain the spirit, and no one has the power in the day of death. There is no release from the war. Would you say that with me? There is no release from the war. So we're going to need discernment, aren't we? And the wickedness will not deliver those who are given to it. This is very powerful because by submitting, again, you must first submit to discern. Now, you may have something going on that you have submitted and discerned, and you're able to make the right decision. But something else comes up, and something else comes up. Now, this is not an area where you just submit to one thing. It's an area where your life is totally submitted to all rule, government, and authority of the kingdom. In every area. Remember, we are kingdom children. We are citizens of the eternal kingdom. This is not about a religion. This is about a kingdom. And by submitting to the arena of the kingdom, God will release things to you. And one of the things he will do is allow you to be able to discern whether you're in the flesh or whether you're in the spirit. Is everybody okay? Go to Proverbs 15. Let's start at verse 18. Proverbs 15:18. A wrathful man stirs up what? So somebody who's bitter in anger will always stir up strife. You know, sometimes when children, and it's because of immaturity, when they get caught doing something, they get angry. You know, they get angry. Oh, and they justify. And of course, they want to blame it on everything else, but except their what they've done. And it's the same thing in here because the person that is wrathful is very immature. And they'll always stir up strife. But he who is slow to anger allays what? Contention. The way of the lazy man is like a hedge of thorns, but the way of the upright is a what? Is a highway. A wise son makes the father glad. How many of y'all want to make your daddy glad? Amen. But a foolish man despises his mother. Folly is joy to him who is destitute of discernment. Ouch. Folly, disastrous. End result is always disastrous. Foolish actions, lack understanding. That's folly. Folly is joy to him who is destitute of discernment. But a man of understanding walks, what? Uprightly. Without counsel, plans go awry. But in the multitude of counselors, they are established. Now, I want to step back a little bit because to be able to discern means that you submitted to counsel. Because if you submit, if you're able to submit, you're going to be able to discern. So by submitting to the things of the kingdom of God, God grants you counsel. So this counsel, he's called the spirit of counsel. So this counsel that we get is going to allow us to make the right decision. To depart from evil, to attack, to rebuke, to cast out. Whatever it is that we're supposed to do, what to speak, what to pray. All of these things are essential to a believer's everyday life. Every day. You know, I was talking to a gentleman today, and he said to me, you know, I feel like I need to get closer to God. I said, well, do you pray every day? He said, no. I said, well, hello. Of course, that's the Lord drawing him. And I shared with him, you know, first of all, you can't get closer to God unless God draws you. And once you get closer to him, then you have to fight to maintain the closeness to him. And dad's favorite game is hide and seek. So make sure you keep one eye open when you're counting the 10. He doesn't care if you cheat. That's the only thing you can cheat at. Go to Numbers 22. Numbers 22. This is powerful. And let's start at verse 9. First of all, let me tell you a little bit about this. Balaam was a prophet. And King Balak, he wanted to come and have Balaam curse Israel. Okay? And so he wanted to offer him some money to do it. And so Balaam goes to the Lord. And Balaam asks the Lord, he says, you know, is this cool that I can go curse Israel? Hello. So I want to start at verse 9. And it says, then God came to Balaam and said, who are these men with you? In other words, what are you doing with these guys? So Balaam said to God, Balak, the son of Zippor, king of Moab, has sent to me, saying, look, a people has come out of Egypt, and they cover the face of the earth. Come now, curse them for me. Perhaps I shall be able to overpower them and drive them out. And God said to Balaam, you shall not go with them. You shall not curse the people, for they are blessed. And Balaam rose in the morning and said to the princes of Balak, go back to your land, for the Lord has refused to give me permission to go with you. And the princes of Moab rose and went to Balak and said, Balaam refuses to come with us. Then Balak again sent princes more numerous and more honorable than they. And they came to Balaam and said to him, thus says Balak, the son of Zippor, please let nothing hinder you from coming to me, for I will certainly honor you greatly, and I will do whatever you say to me. Therefore, please come, curse this people for me. Then Balaam answered and said to the servants of Balak, though Balak were to give me his house full of silver and gold, I could not go beyond the word of the Lord my God to do less or more. Now therefore, please, You also stay here tonight that I may know what more the Lord will say to me. Now, you got to understand something. God already told him no and said, what are you doing hanging around with these guys? So the king sends higher ranking officials ready to release all kinds of cash, all kinds of stuff to him. So he says to them, well, hold on. Why don't you guys stay here? He invites them to stay so he can pray and ask God. Everybody okay? Let's go a little further. Verse 20. And God came to Balaam at night and said to him, if the men come to call you, rise and go with them, but only the word which I speak to you that you shall do. So Balaam rose in the morning, saddled his donkey, and went with the princes of Moab. Now I want you to understand something. That when the Lord gives you an answer already, if you press him enough, he'll allow it, give you your answer that you want. But the end result is dangerous. Then God's anger was aroused because he went. Does everybody see this? And the angel of the Lord took his stand in the way as an adversary against him. And he was riding on his donkey, and his two servants were with him. Now the donkey saw the angel of the Lord standing in the way with his drawn sword in his hand. And the donkey turned aside out of the way and went into the field. So Balaam struck the donkey to turn her head onto the ground, onto the road. Then the angel of the Lord stood in the narrow path between the vineyards, with a wall on this side and a wall on the other side. And when the donkey saw the angel of the Lord, she pushed herself against the wall and crushed Balaam's foot against the wall. So he struck her again. And the angel of the Lord went further and stood in the narrow path where there was no way to turn either to the right or to the left. And when the donkey saw the angel of the Lord, she lay down under Balaam, so that Balaam's anger arose and he struck the donkey with his staff. Talk about the flesh, right? Then the Lord opened the mouth of the donkey. And she said to Balaam, you idiot. No. What have I done to you? You have struck me these three times. And Balaam passed out. He should have, you know. And Balaam said to the donkey, because you have abused me, I wish there were a sword in my hand, for now I would kill you. So the donkey said to Balaam, am I not your donkey on which you have ridden, even since I became yours to this day? Was I ever disposed to do this to you? And he said, no. Then the Lord opened Balaam's eyes, and he saw the angel of the Lord standing in the way with his drawn sword in his hand, and he bowed his head and fell flat on his face. And the angel of the Lord said to him, why have you struck your donkey these three times? Behold, I have come out to stand against you because your way is perverse before me. The donkey saw me and turned aside from me these three times. If she had not turned aside from me, surely I would have also killed you by now and let her live. Now that's hilarious. Now remember, the first command was what? No. No. In other words, I want you to understand something, that a bribe was in action here. See, you won't be able to discern the bribe if you're not able to submit. Has everybody got it? There was a bribe here. He was getting ready to curse. He was willing to curse Israel even though that they were blessed. And this guy was a prophet, and he knew God's voice, didn't he? And the Lord told him, no, you can't do that. But see, he was willing to go extra because of the bribe. And see, that's what the devil likes to do to us. He likes to bribe us with materialism. But you won't be able to discern that bribe is there unless you are totally submitted. The bribe, now I want you to understand this. A bribe will blind discernment. When you come agreement with that bribe, it will blind your discernment. Remember, the donkey was used by God. Many believers are blinded of discernment and now in the flesh because of a bribe. self-proclamation, fame, money, all kinds of other things associated with the world. They can't discern whether they are in the flesh or in the spirit. Now, I want you to understand something. God can use you even if you're not in the spirit. Did he use a donkey? The donkey wasn't in the spirit, that's for sure. Now, you know. See, God can use you even if you're not in the spirit. But you can't receive from God unless you're in the spirit. So God can use you even if you're not in the spirit. But you can't receive from God unless you're in the spirit. You understand that? See, because there's a difference. Anybody can be used by God. Even a donkey. But the problem is, you can't receive the things of God unless you're in the spirit. That's why we must maintain an area to be submissive, to discern. Let's go a little further here. Let's go to 2 Peter chapter 2. 2 Peter chapter 2. In verse 15. This is just confirmation of... let's start at verse 12. It says that, but these like natural brute beasts made to be caught and destroyed speak evil things they do not understand and will utterly perish in their own corruption. And will receive the wages of unrighteousness of those who count it pleasure to carouse in the daytime. They are spots and blemishes, carousing in their own deceptions while they feast with you. So if you can't discern, you're deceived, aren't you? Having eyes full of adultery that cannot cease from sin, enticing unstable souls, they have a heart trained in covetous practices and are accursed children. So can God use them? Yes. But can they receive? No. They have forsaken the right way and gone astray, following the way of Balaam, the son of Beor, who loved the wages of unrighteousness. But he was rebuked for his iniquity. A dumb donkey speaking with a man's voice restrained the madness of the prophet. So does everybody understand this? That you must submit to discern. But there are areas that will blind your discernment, and that is taking a bribe. Willing to make an exchange. Why? Because you must discern whether you're in the spirit or you're in the flesh. Again, I want you to understand that God can use anyone, even if they're not in the spirit. But you can't receive the things of the spirit unless you're in the spirit. And these are the deep things of God. Did you ever try to talk to somebody and they can't receive it? They just can't receive it. Why? Because they can't receive because they didn't submit. And because they didn't submit, they can't discern. So they can't discern. They think they're in the spirit, but they're actually in the flesh. Because they're rebellious to either the council or what's going on in that arena. Let me tell you, this is a ploy of the enemy, and we must be able to be ready to combat this in every area. So you must submit to discern. Is everybody okay? Go to Exodus 23. In verse 8. This is powerful. Verse 8. Read it together with me. You shall not what? Take a bribe. For a bribe blinds the discerning and perverts the words of the righteous. The bribe what? Blinds the discerning. The bribe blinds discernment. This is where the scripture is being fulfilled, that in the latter days, many will take heed to deceiving and seducing spirits and doctrines of demons, and they will fall from the faith. Why? Because more demonic activity is being released in the latter days. And many are... Now listen, faith doesn't mean that you don't believe Jesus. Faith means that you've fallen out of the will of God. Is everybody okay? But if you believe, you follow, right? This is where many people are falling out of the ranks and doing their own thing because they've accepted the bribe and they've been spiritually blinded of discernment because now they're not submitting to the things of God according to his rule, government, and authority. They're submitting to deception and they are being deceived, thinking that they are doing the things of God when they truly are not. Are you understanding? And I'm not saying that they can't be doing the things of God and God is using them, but they can't receive the things of God. Go to Matthew 16. Matthew 16. Submit to what? Discern. Submit to discern. In Matthew 16, start at verse 1. Then the Pharisees and the Sadducees came and testing Jesus, asked that he would show them a sign from heaven. He asked and said to them, "When it is evening, you say, it will be fair weather, for the sky is red. And in the morning, it will be foul weather today, for the sky is red and threatening." Hypocrites, he says. "You know how to discern the face of the sky, but you cannot discern the signs of the times. A wicked and adulterous generation seeks after a sign, and no sign shall be given to except the sign of the prophet of Jonah." And he left them, and he departed. Now, what did he call them? Hypocrites. Now, the religious spirits will say, "You're cursing me," because their pride refuses correction, and their fear rejects exposure. I want to say this again. A religious spirit. Now, a religious spirit cannot, an individual that's caught up in religious spirit cannot discern. Why? Because that individual is not submitting, so it can't discern. So everybody got it. But they're caught up in the pride that God is using them. But they can't receive the things of God. But God can use a donkey, can't he? Now again, I want you to understand that Jesus called them hypocrites. Why did he call them hypocrites? Because they couldn't discern. Say, or saying one thing but doing another. They could not discern. And in this, again, I want you to understand that a religious spirit, people who are caught up in the religious spirit, when you tell them that they are hypocrites, they will say, "You're cursing me." Why? Because pride does what? Does anybody remember? Refuses correction, and their fear rejects exposure. The pride refuses correction, and their fear rejects the exposure. And they become wrathful and cause strife. Why? Because they didn't submit. They've lost submission to the true rule, government, and authority of the kingdom. Is everybody okay? Are you getting this? Go to Malachi 3. Malachi chapter 3. In verse 17. Malachi 3, 17. Everybody there? 17 and 18. Let's read it together. It says, "They shall be mine, says the Lord of hosts, on the day that I make them my jewels, and I will spare them as a man spares his own son who serves him. Then you shall again discern." Discern what? "Between the righteous and the wicked, between one who serves God and one who does not serve him." See, this discernment is an area where you can be able to discern one that's being used by God. Hello? Now I'm going to share this again. One that's being used by God or one that's being used by God. One that's being used by God in the spirit or one that's being used by God in the flesh. Because God can use anyone. You will be able to discern the difference between flesh and spirit. Has everybody got it? It is important in this arena and in this time that we are in to submit so we can discern the difference between the flesh and the spirit. Discern one who's serious and one who's not serious with God. You will know by the fruit. Fruit is always an area where you'll be able to judge where somebody's really at. If there's wrath and strife and bitterness, you know that even if God is using them, they're in the flesh. But they can't receive from God. They can't receive correction. They get angry when they get corrected. And they hate exposure because now fear. They are afraid to be found out. Because their purpose in pride is to be known as doing something for God all the time. That's a prideful spirit. And that's religion. See, in a false arena, they want to give glory to God, but in true reality, they want the glory. And they don't even know it. But if you can discern, you'll know it. See why? You'll know whether they're in the flesh or whether they're in the spirit. You'll know it because you're in the spirit and you'll be able to receive from God. And you'll know. 1 Corinthians 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. In verse 10. And he's talking about the gifts of the Spirit, which there are nine. He talks about here. And in verse 10 it says, and to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, and to another gift of tongues, and to another interpretation of tongues. Now in this discerning of spirits, the purpose of this gift is to be able to discern what spirit is motivating the human spirit. What spirit is motivating the human spirit? But if an individual is not able to discern, they won't know what's motivating them. Has everybody got it? Discerning of spirits. But if you, now this gift that's from the Spirit is allow us, is walking in the Spirit, to be able to discern what spirit is motivating that individual spirit. That's the purpose of it. It isn't to bring judgment. It is to allow us to know what spirit is motivating that spirit. Now listen, if you are not submitted, right, you can't discern whether the flesh or in the spirit, because if you're in the flesh, you're not going to be able to discern that that gift will not be manifested. You won't be able to discern what spirit is motivating that human spirit. Only in the spirit will you be able to discern that. So you must submit then. You must what? Submit. Discerning of spirits. And the flesh can't discern what spirit is using you. In the spirit, you'll be able to discern what spirit is motivating not only yourself, but others. And I think that's important now, don't you? Because if more demonic activity is being released, we better be able to discern what's motivating you. And you want to know what's motivating an individual around you, don't you? Because you'll be able to discern whether you're in the spirit or in the flesh, and whether that person is. Go to Hebrews 5. Hebrews chapter 5. In verse 9. Let's read it. And having been perfected, he became the author. Is everybody there? Author of eternal salvation to all who what? Well, that destroys the once saved, always saved, doesn't it? And having been perfected, he, Jesus, became the author of eternal salvation to all who obey him. That means submit. Called by God as high priest according to the order of Melchizedek, of whom we have much to say and hard to explain since you have become dull of hearing. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God, and you have come to need milk, not solid food. For everyone who partakes of only milk is what? Unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But Salafu belongs to those who are full of age, that is, those by who reason of use have their senses what? Exercised to discern both good and evil. In other words, authority, Jesus being authority of the eternal salvation, is the one whose submission must be granted to. In other words, when he says do something, you do it. Obedience is better than sacrifice, right? And he said that they were dull over here. And why? Because they become blinded of discernment. Why were they dull of hearing? Because they became blinded of discernment. Why? Because they took a bribe. And by taking that bribe, it moved them out of the area of submission. And because they didn't submit, they could not discern. Now, they were not able to reach the level of maturity to exercise discernment at the level needed to fulfill a calling. You know, there's a level of maturity that God expects us to get to fulfill a specific calling. He's not going to put you in a place unless you've reached a level of maturity. And in this maturity, it's a place where you've earned God's trust. But an unqualified individual placed in a position to fulfill an agenda by man and not placed by God is dangerous. It is illegitimate authority, and it is called witchcraft. It is illegitimate authority, and it is called witchcraft. Why? Because witchcraft is being used in it, and that person doesn't even know. Remember, we're not fighting flesh and blood. We're fighting powers of darkness, aren't we? Now, if you can't discern this, it's because it started right from not submitting. Once that person stops submitting to rule, authority, or government of the kingdom of God that God places them and becomes rebellious of it, they cannot discern. A majority of the time, they open themselves up to a religious spirit where there's a fulfillment in doing works instead of knowing him. 1 Timothy 3. For some of you who don't fully get this yet, you will. You will. The Spirit will bring it and impart it and allow you to discern this message as long as you're submitted. In 1 Timothy chapter 3, would you read it with me? This is a faithful saying. If a man desires the position of a bishop, which is an area of one in authority, a position. In fact, the word bishop really was an old pagan word. And they used it in here, but anyways. You know. But, I mean, you know, people call people bishops and so forth and whatever, whatever. I mean, I know that Ephesians 4 tells us what the offices are. But in this, there's an area of position. It's a representation of authority. And it says, if a man desires the place of authority as a bishop or whatever, he desires a good thing. A bishop then must be blameless, the husband or wife of one husband or one wife, okay? Temperate, sober-minded, of good behavior, hospitable, able to teach. This is a position. Not given to wine, not violent, not greedy for money, but gentle, not quarrelsome, not covetous. One who rules his own house well. That's this house. First this house. And then the house. Having his children in submission with all reverence. For if a man does not know how to rule his own house, how will he take care of the church of God? Not a novice. In other words, that's someone who's put in position illegitimate authority. Lest being puffed up with pride, he or she fall into the same condemnation as the devil. Moreover, he or she must have a good testimony among those who are outside, lest they fall into reproach and the snare of the devil. Again, a bishop is a place of authority, must have submission. But I'm telling you that God first tests us in everything. Now, I want to share something very quickly with you, and that is if you are not faithful to things in a natural, it's impossible for you to be faithful to things in the spiritual. Are you listening? So if you're an individual that holds back tithes and offerings, if you're an individual that cheats, if you are not faithful with the things of the natural, you will not be faithful to things of the spiritual. And God will not release things to you until you are faithful in the natural. The Bible says that you and I are blessed with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places, right? He will not release those blessings to you until you are faithful in the natural. Because he's saying, if you can't be faithful what you see, how can I expect you to be faithful what you don't see? So people that skip out on certain things and put their priorities out of order, those are individuals that have failed the test. And God is not going to release that blessing. Those who have made vows before the Lord, all kinds of things to that degree, not willing to submit. They have lost discernment. They've been blinded. And now they become unfaithful in the things that are natural. At one time they were faithful. And then they have fallen short and put in their priorities and their things in front instead of doing the things of God. Is everybody okay? You know, in the book of Revelation in 5 and 6, it says that you and I have been called to be what? Priests and kings. That's our calling. That's what we're supposed to fulfill. To be a what? A priest and a king. Well, the only way to become a priest or a king is to maintain discernment. Many people fall out of their priesthood by not maintaining that. Why? Because they stop submitting and they fall off maintaining the priesthood. And that priest is one who gets close to the Lord. He gets close to the Lord. He's the one who ministers to the Lord. Go to 1 Kings chapter 3. 1 Kings chapter 3. So we are tested on everything, aren't we? But if you are not faithful in the natural, you are not faithful in the spiritual. And let me tell you, the one thing I really believe God checks us out at and tests us with is finances. Because people fight over money. And they're not fighting with man, they're fighting with God. Oh, yeah. And 1 Kings chapter 3 and verse, 7. Let's read it. Now, O Lord my God, you have made your servant king instead of my father David. But I am a little child and I do not know how to go out or come in. This is Solomon praying to the Lord. And your servant is in the midst of your people whom you have chosen. A great people, too numerous to be numbered or counted. Therefore, give to your servant an understanding how to judge your people, that I may discern between good and evil. For who is able to judge this great people of yours? The speech pleased the Lord that Solomon had asked this thing. And God said to him, because you have asked this thing, and not asked for long life for yourself, nor asked riches for yourself, nor have asked the life of your enemies, but have asked for yourself understanding to discern justice. Behold, I have done according to your words. See, I have given you a wise and understanding heart, so that there has not been anyone like you before, nor shall anyone like you arise after you. What did he do? He prayed that God would grant him the discernment. But there was something that he was doing. See, Solomon also lost discernment. He was blinded of it later. He fell into fornication, ended up losing the kingdom. But during that time when he was humble and he was seeking the Lord and submitting, God was granting him the wisdom, the discernment that he needed. He was making correct choices. There was peace. The sword was at rest during Solomon's time. Wealth and riches. And Solomon was able to build the house of the Lord. But eventually it all collapsed. Because one thing he stopped doing was submitting to God and began to marry into paganism and began to build altars of Baal and worship with his wives. because he was caught up in lust. See, he took the bribe. Discernment was blinded, and he lost the kingdom. Everybody okay? 1 Corinthians 4. 1 Corinthians chapter 4. Verses 1 and 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 1 and 2. Let a man so consider us as servants of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it is required that in stewards that one be found faithful. Faithful. Now, how are you going to be a steward of the mysteries of God if you don't submit? How are you going to be faithful if there's not submission? We are stewards to the mysteries of God. We are servants to the anointing of God. And we are ambassadors to the kingdom, the eternal kingdom of God, by submission to his rule, government, and authority. Qualified now. We are qualified by testing. He tests you. Everything that he gives you, he tests you. And if you continue to pass that test, you get qualified. Amen? To become a what? Faith, considered a faithful steward. So if you're faithful in the natural, you'll be faithful in the spiritual. And all of, and let me share this with you, that God will also test your discernment. See, testing comes to test your discernment. Has everybody got it? He will test you and bring you through a trial just to test your discernment. To see if you can discern of the spirit and of the flesh. And what spirit is motivating. To see if an individual is qualified or disqualified. You will be able to discern that. And that's what you get tested on. And I'm telling you, we're going to need it. We need it now. Ephesians 1, chapter 1. In verse 3, what does it say? Blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places. Hallelujah in Christ. Well, what more do you need? Amen. What more do we need? If we're blessed every spiritual blessing in heavenly places, we got it all. But it's not all been released. Every area of the spiritual blessing in heavenly places is first tested before he releases it. It's all there waiting for me and you. Again, he's going to test your discernment. If you're faithful in the natural, you're faithful in the spiritual. He will release it. And there's more than one testing for that release. Do you understand? There's more than one testing for that release. He knows what the quality, or what I should say, the qualification for that release is. When you've reached that qualification for that release, he releases it. Let's go to Galatians 3. Galatians chapter 3. Start at verse 1. Galatians 3, verse 1. Would you read it with me? All foolish Galatians, who has what? Who has what? Bewitched you. That you should not obey the what? Truth. In other words, witchcraft was involved, wasn't it? Who's bewitched you? Somebody's used witchcraft to get you to disobey the truth. That you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ was clearly portrayed among you as crucified. This only I want to learn from you. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Are you so foolish or bewitched? Having begun in the Spirit, you are now being made perfect by the flesh. See, they were in the Spirit and now they're walking in the flesh. He said, who bewitched you? Because they couldn't discern no more. They take a bribe, blinded the discernment, and began to move in the flesh instead of the spirit. Who bewitched you? Have you suffered so many things in the vain, if indeed it was in vain? Therefore, he who supplies the Spirit to you and works miracles among you, does he do it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Just as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness, therefore know that only those who are of the faith are sons of Abraham. Those who are of the what? Faith. Remember we just shared that the Bible says that in the latter days many will fall from the faith, taking heed to deceiving and seducing spirits? That is witchcraft. These individuals were bewitched by witchcraft. They were moved out of position. They took the bribe. Discernment was blinded. Now their trust is more in the flesh than in the spirit. They cannot discern whether they're in the spirit or in the flesh. Is everybody okay? Good. They were in the spirit. They left the spirit. Bewitched. Going back to the flesh and leaving the spirit. It was the use of witchcraft. And I'm going to close here. We're going to talk more about witchcraft next. But not now. Romans 8. Romans chapter 8. I have a sheet also that it's been put on my heart just to put together and the differences of in the spirit and in the flesh. And there's all kinds of things on there that's written that, you know, led or misled, so forth, anxious and patient and all of these things of the flesh. I'll hand them out next Bible study. In Romans 8 and verse 12, would you read it with me? Therefore, brethren, we are what? Debtors not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you shall live. For as many are led by the Spirit of God, these are what? Sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to what? Fear. But you received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with Him, that we may also be glorified together. Illegitimate authority is witchcraft. And let me share with you again, that spirit of religion loves to attach itself to believers, to move them out of position. And it's got two major characters, pride, fear. And it all started with stop submitting to that authority because they took a bribe. They were bewitched. This is one of the areas where many fall from the faith. Again, faith is not believing in Jesus, but it's believing in Jesus and doing the wrong will. It's falling from the faith. We are at a crucial time right now, and it's important that we stay submitted to the kingdom rule, government, and authority, no matter what it takes. That's where protection is. That's where favor is. That's where testing is. If you're faithful in the natural, you'll be faithful in the spirit, and God will consider you a good steward. How many of y'all want to be considered as a good steward? That's where he says, enter in my good and faithful steward, servant. Amen. Praise God. Father, we thank you for your word tonight. We are honored and blessed. I apply the blood of Jesus on the seed that's been imparted. I ask, Lord, that you'll allow the seed to grow and bear fruit for your glory. And Lord, any area where we have taken a bribe to walk away, to justify, to reason against what you've asked us to do, just like you said, Balaam. Lord, we repent. We sever ourselves from every area of emotional attachments in those areas. We repent for coming in agreement with any bribe. And we sever that from us. And we commit to you, our spirit, soul, and body. And ask, Lord, that you'll restore us in any area where we have fallen short. That we can stay submitted to your rule, government, and authority. And be granted discernment to know whether we are in the spirit or in the flesh, or what spirit is motivating us and others, that we may be stewards of your mysteries and servants to your anointing and ambassadors to the eternal kingdom, bringing glory to your name, expanding the kingdom, and pulling down altars and destroying altars of Baal, that your children can be rescued in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. Hallelujah. Be blessed.